The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Welcome, everybody, to W2M's NXT review for August 16th, 2017. And hey, just to let you guys know, W2Mnet.com and 411Mania.com are the places you can come and find this show and a lot more great content from us. Also, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review over there at Wrestling to the Max. We appreciate everybody who's already done that. Of course, you know, let you also know we're on YouTube. Hey, don't forget that as well. I am Gary Vaughn, and along with me is your host, Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Paul, I'm excited. We are right here on the cusp of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, right? It's 3, correct?
It is the third installment, all indeed, right. And we're here for another WWE go-home show, and I was expecting a lot more, honestly, but...
yeah.
They open this week with the women's contract signing. So Ember Moon and Asuka come on down to the ring. William Regal's in there. Ember Moon sort of goes over Asuka's incredible journey. She's over 500 days undefeated, Gary. She's the longest reigning champion in the modern era, to use all those fun buzzwords that WWE uses. And Moon says she's back and better than ever since the injury, and brings up the fact that Asuka has only beaten her because she cheated, and she's the only person she's done that against, which means that Asuka believes her to be dangerous, and on Saturday she's going to find out. Asuka then signs the contract very angrily, so does Ember Moon, and then Asuka sounds off in some very angry-sounding Japanese, and then we get all face-to-face, and I think this match is going to be great, Gary. I can't wait to see it.
I think you're right. And, you know, this is one that I think they've done a pretty decent job building up. It's been exciting to kind of see where we're going and how they're getting us there. But, I mean, the one thing that kind of bums you out is the fact that, you know, this could have been even better if Ember Moon would have been healthy and they could have really progressed this even more and really made the fire hot. But I think from what we got and what they've done, it's pumped you up. I love the fact that Asuka did just blow up in her face in Japanese, right? Mm-hmm. And it's for the reason that she's super angry. She's super pumped to get involved in this match and, you know, in her thought, go out and take out Ember Moon like she's done every single other person that's up in the ring with her. So I think that's great. And I think, you know, Ember Moon did a fine job herself. I think she kind of really portrayed her message, and that is, of course, you know, she's the one person that can beat Asuka. She really feels that way. She knows she can. All that confidence. So I think it's a pretty decent contract signing here. That ain't nothing over the moon, but I still feel like that they gave us enough here to make us excited about that match. And when it gets here, I'm really looking forward to good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And if their last match was anything to be the measuring stick for, and they get better, then we are in for an absolute classic on Saturday. But moving along from there, Lars Sullivan meets with William Regal backstage. Lars wants another chance at at tagging up with somebody, and Regal is hesitant to do so because Lars has murdered every single one of his other tag team partners so far for losing. And Lars promises that he'll be a good boy this time and not kill the person if they lose inside the ring, and Regal eventually acquiesces to his desire. So we have the Street Profits coming out once again. Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford taking on Lars Sullivan and Chris Silvio. Lars wants to start things off. However, Silvio just runs headlong into the action and eats a huge punch from Dawkins that sends Montez Ford running around like a crazy person freaking out. And eventually Silvio falls victim to the Street Profits' big pop-up spine buster and frog splash combo. And Lars lives up to his word where he helps Silvio from ringside, carries him over one shoulder, takes him all the way outside, and then beats him up. So good on Lars for living up to his word.
Let me start off by saying that I have the feeling that Silvio had a song in his head when he saw that this tag team he was going to be facing was the new, brand new Street Profits, who debuted just, you know, was it last week, right? And so this is a situation where I think he was in there singing Taylor Swift's, you know, "I knew you were trouble when you walked in." And I think that's the problem here, because as soon as I saw this take place, here comes the Street Profits. There you go. Okay, so, you know, Silvio better be counting his, you know, prayers and wishes and hoping that he can win this match, which he doesn't. And of course, I think the Street Profits, once again, they're exciting. This is the second match that we've seen them, and it's a squash, but I still think that that energy is there. See, that's what makes this team so great. That energy is in your face. It's there. It's ready to go, and they're super entertaining. And I never thought I would ever be sitting here, Paul, and saying, "Oh, man, Angelo Dawkins, super high energy, super exciting to watch," right? Not saying he was anything bad. He's always been a great athlete, but it's just the fact that this guy has not been really all that super special. But now as a tag team, like we talked about in last week's show, he is so much more fun to watch. He seems like he's, you know, has a new life and is breathing a whole new, you know, situation into his career. And of course, you know, I just think this tag team is great. Now, on the other side, I think, you know, Silvio's Silvio. Oh my God, how I'm not forgetting his name. I
Lars keep thinking Sullivan.
Thank you. I keep thinking Dolph Lundgren. The whole time I see him, I think Dolph Lundgren. Okay, so Lars, I think this guy is going to be something special. I really do. I think, you know, right now, they just have this for him. The only thing that they have for him is to go and destroy people, kind of like the Authors of Pain were. You know, the Authors of Pain, like Paul, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Authors of Pain are great, but when they first started, what do? They just kill you. They killed everybody. And was that not entertaining to you?
I love watching big dude squash jobbers. I really do.
Yeah, so there you go. I'm right there with you. And so Lars is going to be doing this for a while until he actually gets a feud that's going to mean something. But I love the interaction he has with William Regal and doing all that stuff, because he's this big, huge guy being like, you know, "Hey, I just need one more chance. And then when he finally gets it, he's like, "Okay, I'm going to follow through my word, but then again, I'm going to keep doing what I want to, and I'm going to kill this guy." So he takes him outside and does it. And that's something that I really appreciate. I'm glad that they didn't just have Lars walk away. I think it would kind of sour me on that. I think they did a great job here. I want to know what you think that Lars can do going forward. Where do you see them taking him? Are they going to continue this whole tag team thing, or is William Regal going to be like, "You're suspended from doing any tag team things, but you can do singles"?
I think that's where this is going, right? As much as I don't know if they have another big guy that they could pair Lars up with, but I would love another big Hoss team, and you could just sort of build a division around big Hoss guys for a while. But I think they have really high aspirations for Lars. I mean, this is a guy who got Brock Lesnar's attention so much that he flew out to Florida to work out with him. So I think that's a pretty clear sign of at least what some of the bigger stars think of him. And, you know, we haven't seen a whole ton from Lars in the ring yet, so I don't have a great opinion of him as far as what he can do inside the ropes, but his act so far has entertained me. I mean, I know I'm going to see him kill somebody every time he comes out through the curtain. I just, you know, it's usually not his opponents. So,
yeah. Right, so you're literally telling me that Brock Lesnar took time out of his schedule to work out with this guy. That speaks volumes. I'm sorry. Now, I know Brock Lesnar is not essentially, you know, Mr. Wrestler. Yeah, he's a wrestler, but, you know, let's be honest, his heart's not all the way there. The money's more talking to him than really the wrestling. But athletics is what Brock Lesnar loves. He loves guys that are strong, powerful. And he also likes guys that, you know, offer a challenge to him. And I bet you anything, he was wanting to see what this kid could do. Mm-hmm. How could he balance up against him? You know, I just recently heard, well, his name is Glenn Jacobs, but Kane, on Jim Ross's podcast. He talked about Brock Lesnar and him basically having this whole challenge in the weight room and really just doing, you know, everything they could to see who was better and maxing out, you know, these workout machines. And that speaks volumes for, you know, those kind of guys. And I think Lars is right in that wheelhouse. And that's what's so cool. This is a new talent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a guy that's big, strong, and we saw this with Braun Strowman. This is what excites me, is the fact that we've got these guys who are huge but have so much athletic ability behind them. I want to see Lars in more matches where it's not just a squash. I do want to see if he's as athletic as I hope he is. You know, we know Braun Strowman is because he's had the experience. Let's wait and see what Lars does. But right now, I'm excited. I love the comedy here too, right, Paul? I mean, the comedy is something that's really kind of special because, you know, it's a little bit of a hidden thing, but Lars kind of makes you laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's not, you know, terrible, I think, in talking and holding himself. And, you know, it's a very basic conversation he has with Regal here, but he didn't stutter. He didn't flub up anything. He seemed pretty confident in who he was. And it's hard to not think that WWE is not going to want to do something big with this guy going forward. So
I'm not laughing at him. I'm not saying that I'm laughing at him essentially because he is very serious. But, you know, it's kind of like when, you know, Steven Seagal fights somebody and he breaks their neck and he's very serious about it. What's kind of funny is the fact that he breaks the neck so easy and just kind of walks away.
Walks off.
It's hilarious. I mean, it's come on. So, yeah, you're right.
I mean, the best part about all of this is that he literally throws Chris Silvio into the trash bin next to him outside and then just storms off. And there's a bunch of people out there who just are seemingly were casually out there until this happened. And then they're very, like, purposefully not looking at him as he storms off. I thought it was a pretty funny sight.
Yeah. Smoke breaks over, guys.
Yeah. moving on, we get Ruby Riott taking on Billie Kay, who of course has Peyton Royce at ringside, and this is all due to the whole Riott being in the background of their makeup tutorial last week that really pissed him off. And I think Billie Kay and Peyton Royce were absolutely hilarious during this whole thing. Not only were they way over the top with their usual antics, but Billie mocking Ruby Riott in this absolutely condescending tone is just, it made me laugh every time. And unfortunately, the match is only 4 minutes, and they don't get a real lot of time. But I think for some of the stuff that we got here was just fine. And Ruby Riott gets the victory here by basically hitting a Pele kick on Billie Kay that may or may not have actually knocked her a little loopy. I don't know. It looked very, very good.
Yeah, it did. It looked, you know, like it was a pretty solid kick. Trust me, it made me wonder. And that's a good thing if it really didn't knock her loopy. But, you know, the one thing I'll say is Billie Kay, you know, of course, gets an opportunity here, which it's been a while. Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen her on TV in quite a while, so I'm happy to see that and her return back to the ring. You know, and Peyton Royce, you know, we've seen her several times. And I think it's kind of fun to see the reversal role and, you know, her be on the outside and kind of doing the whole, hey, you know, keep going and making all these kind of funny things and sayings and all that. So I think they work so well together. And I think in this match especially, where they're picking on old poor, you know, what I kind of like to say is a punk rock girl who's kind of misunderstood, I think, to an extent. And Ruby Riott is just kind of that example of that. And that's what's cool. You got two girls who think they're hot snot, and it goes back to high school all over again. So it's what's kind of funny. And, you know, Ruby Riott shuts them up. And that's what you know she can do because, well, we just saw her in the main event picture not long ago. And I think that Ruby Riott has a lot to offer. And this is a good feud for her to have while she's really not in that picture. I think this is kind of a, you know, it's almost like an after-school special. I hate to say it that way, but it's like, you know, the punk rock girl getting picked on by the popular girls, and that's okay. It's going to be fun to see how this continues on because, like you said, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce are hilarious. They do such a good job. I love their behind-the-scenes videos. Mm-hmm. They are so, so funny, and I think it adds something to NXT that we just don't get a lot of times on Raw or SmackDown. It's something special, so I'm glad what they're doing with that, and I think this is good. And, you know, Ruby Riott gets one over on them, so now they're going to come back even more, and that's what at least I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, too. It'd be especially cool if Ruby can bring up one of these other younger NXT girls that we've seen on the roster a couple times and tag up with them, and and maybe see if we can't try to make a new star out of all this too. But we'll just obviously have to wait and see. But I'm sure a match with Peyton Royce is incoming either way. Commentary goes over the card, which we will be previewing on our big part two episode later on tonight, or tomorrow morning, I guess, if you're listening here on the download. And then we get an Authors of Pain Insanity video package, which is very well done. And then we get this big match with Roderick Strong and Drew McIntyre, where if Roderick wins, he will get a shot at Bobby Roode. And this is, it's going along very, very well. You get the right build-up, I think, and they're starting to get into, I think, the real meat of the match. And here comes Bobby Roode, one, not only to ruin it, but to seemingly complete his master plan as he pushes Roderick Strong off the top rope into the floor to force the disqualification. So Roderick does technically win, and he'll get the match. But then Bobby puts the boots to Drew McIntyre for a while. He beats on Roderick a little bit, too, to keep him from making the save, and then hits a big glorious DDT on Drew McIntyre for the win. So not only is Drew worn down by this very evenly fought match, but now he has Bobby Roode beating on him and looking like the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, Bobby Roode, I mean, he portrays $1 million. He walks away like he's $1 million. And I think that they had to add him in here somewhere. As much fun as it is to watch Roderick Strong and, you know, everything that he's got to offer, and then you got Drew McIntyre here, who's been so great since he's been back in NXT, you really want to save that matchup for a later date, I think. I think especially to get the full content in a match that you want out of those two guys in Roderick Strong and McIntyre. I figured there was going to be something that was going to take place to stop short what we were going to see here in a final or a pin or anything like that. So I don't have a problem with this at all. I think it sets us up very well, because we know as soon as, you know, we have this NXT Brooklyn 3 take place and we get McIntyre and Bobby Roode, then we have right after that, the Wednesday following, we're going to have, you know, get the Roderick Strong and Bobby Roode. So it gives you that whole mindset of, okay, I'm ready. Both these guys, McIntyre and, Roode are just going to have an excellent match, because you know that McIntyre is going to bring the heat. But, Bobby Roode once again gets his licks in before he actually gets the match. So that means that he's going to already be a lot more healthier. He's going to be a lot more quicker. And it's going to make a matchup, I think, that we're all going to love. So this is something I'm super thrilled about. I think they did a fine job here on this.
I completely agree with you. Any chance, I think, to make Bobby Roode look great, at least in my opinion, because I'm such a big fan of him, I'm all for. And I mean, it feels like he's finally getting a run as a top guy in a company, no matter which really brand that he was on. But I was just disappointed so much by his TNA World Heavyweight title run. And this run, it feels like we're getting a fair shake for Bobby Roode, not only as a heel who doesn't mind taking shortcuts and looking like a chicken shit at times, but who can look like the smartest guy in the room and still get away with winning clean at times, too. And I think that's really great. And I mean, I'll talk more about how I think this match is going to fit the TakeOver title match during our main episode, but I think this makes things really interesting. It keeps you guessing, and honestly, I don't think NXT really has a wrong choice here as far as who they can put the belt on, whether they keep it on Bobby or move it to Drew.
I'm right there with you, and I think that's an excellent case to be made, because I mean, there's a lot of matchups and this weekend that are going to be taking place where we're going to sit here and say, no, the belt cannot go to this person because it just makes no sense in the world, or they can't handle it, or maybe, you know, we can't change the belt because of this reason or that reason. It's just, there's a lot of complicated factors, but this is one, you know, especially being a main title, that honestly, it could switch hands and there's no problem. It's smooth as glass, and I think it works out perfectly for any of these guys. So I would even say the same about Roderick Strong, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think he's just as good and just as worthy as anyone else to be the NXT World Heavyweight Champion. This is what I love. Now, we talk about this on a regular basis on this show, but it's just the truth. They are so top-heavy here in NXT. So much great talent that really the title switching hands is not a problem. And not only that, the guys that are holding it, you feel like are champions. You know, Roderick Strong may be, I'm not saying weaker, but he may be a little less known, which may make people kind of wonder why he's the world heavyweight champion. But I still think that once he gets in the ring, he proves to you every time he does deserve it. So that's what's exciting. That's what makes me happy about this whole picture overall.
Yeah, and I mean, that top-heavy main event scene's only about to get tighter with all the people they're signing and bringing into this company, too. So lots to look out for. TakeOver this Saturday looks fantastic. I can't wait to watch it. And that about does it for NXT this week, Gary.
Yeah, you're right. And before we, you know, go ahead and close the show out, I have to say, I think you reminded me of something. Well, you talked about Lars having a tag team partner or someone teaming up with him. Donovan Dijak is walking in the door.
Big angry man who hits hard, and big angry man who not only hits hard but can flip. That's terrifying.
That is terrifying. So I just want to let Heavy Machinery know now. Get ready.
Get ready for a name change.
Yeah. And the Authors of Pain, you've got some reputable guys to face, especially now. So but I don't know if that's gonna take place. I'm just saying, if it does, my God, I cannot wait. I want to see it tonight. So, but anyway, well, enough of that. I am super excited. Paul just told you how excited he is about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. This is going to be so much fun. We are, of course, going to be reviewing that show Sunday night. Or maybe we still haven't really worked this out yet, but we will. I'm hoping pre-show on our episode 260, part 2 of Wrestling to the Max, which you can probably listen to now because most of you do listen on the download. We'll tell you exactly what we're probably going to be doing when it comes to recording that show. We still haven't discussed Saturday night or Sunday night recording it, but it will be available for you guys. I'm really excited about that. We're going to cover the show from top to bottom and give you all our thoughts on what's taking place and, you know, talking about, you know, of course, Asuka, and, you know, maybe even the possibility of this could be her last NXT match. So lots of big stuff coming up to be excited about. Make sure you come and check us out. Episode 260, part 2 on Wrestling to the Max. And also, don't forget, too, we'll be previewing NXT TakeOver and giving you all our predictions on that show and really giving you our full-fledged ideas and predictions on maybe some of the other stuff. Of course, we'll be predicting SummerSlam on that show too. So we've got a packed show on there. And of course, you know, make sure you always subscribe. If you haven't done it already, subscribe now. That way you're not even to worry about it. So when we actually do record this NXT TakeOver Brooklyn review show, you just have to look in your dock and it'll be right there. That way you're not having to search us out anymore. It's already there for you guys. And of course, rate and review as well. This just gives us a help in hearing your comments, what you think about the show. And not only that, the 5-star rating, if you want to give us that, helps other people see us. It just makes us noticeable, and we always appreciate that. Well, anyway, I am Gary Vaughn, and he is Paul Leeser, and we will catch you guys on the flip side.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.